lights out, and away we go.
Scott and Rick.
I don't really have a lot to comment on that.
Andy and Sunday have crashed. They've got into each other.
I wasn't listening. No idea what you were speaking about.
This is the F1 Podcast. Two soft compounds.
Hello there, I'm Scott Hughes.
I'm Rick Horton.
And we are the two soft compounds off the back of a Mexico Grand Prix, which was a pretty good Mexican Grand Prix. And in my opinion, a champion's drive from Max Verstappen. That was a cracker. He kind of won the race at the start, didn't he? But what's amazing me most about Max Verstappen is he's just got his head so screwed tightly onto his shoulders. Nothing seems to faze him, does it? He just takes the pressure and just soaks it up. And bearing in mind, he's, you know, on the grid behind Lewis Hamilton, behind Bottas, behind, you know, multiple world champions. And he just cruises up alongside him, outbrakes him, wallop into the first bend. Lovely stuff. I'll have that. Thank you very much. And just drives off and wins the race. Wasn't the world's most exciting race, but, you know, what a cracking drive from Max Verstappen this weekend.
Yeah, and Sergio Perez, it has to be said. Some drivers didn't perform as well we thought they would, and others did. It started with practice on the Friday, and it looked as though the Red Bulls would be strong, but then they completely messed it up for qualifying. Didn't get the tyres warmed up in time for their fast runs, and obviously had to settle for third and fourth on the grid with Max and Perez. But then I think that probably handed him a bit of a favour, because we've seen in the past at Mexico, starting on pole position is not necessarily the best thing, because you're giving all the drivers behind a big toe. And that's what happened at the start of this race on the weekend just gone. One thing that is making headlines in Formula One circles is the fact that Valtteri Bottas just looked as though he moved out of the way and opened the door for Max Verstappen. And many people saying, you know, is he really cheesed off with Mercedes that much now that he's actually giving positions away to competitors?
Yeah, interesting, wasn't it? Because he did leave him a lot of room, and even Hamilton has said the same. You know, Hamilton said, I feel like he opened the door for him. And like you say, it's very interesting because Bottas has got nothing really to lose there. Can Mercedes punish him? Can they punish him financially? Can they, you know, remove him from the team? I saw some stuff online this week saying, what's the possibility of them moving George Russell up to the team to kind of try and seal the Constructors' Championship for the last few races of the season? I don't see that happening, if I'm honest, but, no. You know, obviously we know what the behind-the-scenes stuff is happening and the conversations they're having, and you would assume that Toto is saying to Bottas, you know, come on, you're still with the team, we're still paying you, you got to play ball a little bit here. But, you know, how can you prove something like that? How can you prove that Bottas wasn't just keeping straight, or Bottas didn't have his eye on Hamilton, or Bottas was just concerned about hitting Hamilton, so he stayed a bit further over? You know, there's so many things that could have been on the table there. A skeptic will say that he left too much room for Max to get through. But it's a funny one, isn't it? I saw an interview on Sky where they were talking to him about the qualifying and stuff, and they said, you know, are you nervous about the toe you're going to give Red Bull? And straight away he's like, yep, we've discussed it. We're very nervous about it. We realise it's a long straight and there's a long toe there. And he spoke very much like, yep, trust me, we've had a lot of conversations about this. We know exactly what we're going to do and we know how to play it and we know what not to do. And then so to see kind of Max just sail around the outside on the first turn was quite interesting, I thought.
Yeah, it was as if, Bottas had gone, I've been briefed, I know exactly what to do, and I'm going to do the complete opposite when the race starts, because if Mercedes don't think I'm good enough for their team, well, then I don't give a stuff. And that's how it sort of transpired to me anyway. I mean, obviously, he put it on pole on Saturday, which was great. And we've seen, you know, since he's been released from his Mercedes contract at the end of this season, Bottas is now a different driver. He's more relaxed. The pressure's not on anymore. He's no longer feeling that pressure that he has to compete and beat Hamilton. He's just going out there and enjoying the drive in that car, which of course is one of the fastest. But I got the impression he left too much room. If they'd been briefed on that, and obviously they know there's going to be a tow situation there, then surely the briefing contains how you can legally block those cars that are trying to come through from behind. And to me, he just didn't. And then after that, of course, he had a poor pit stop. He was at the back of the grid after being spun out on lap one by Daniel Ricciardo, who apologised to him afterwards. That was just a racing incident. But Bottas proved once again, as we've seen so many times, that he's not able to chase and overtake other cars, even though it's quite difficult at the Mexico circuit. He just wasn't able to do it this time out.
Yeah, and it is a funny one, isn't it? Because if he wants to punish the Mercedes team, if that's what's going on there, and he wants to sort of prove something, then obviously he wants to get pole position to prove that, you know, given the chance, he can be a number one driver and a pole position driver. but also he then, in theory, wants to drop down as much as he can so as to not score points for Mercedes as the team. Is he really blaming Hamilton for that? You know, there's a difference between I don't want Hamilton to win the world title and I don't want Mercedes to win the constructors' title, because, you know, Lewis could still win the world championship and Mercedes could still win the constructors, or Red Bull could win the constructors and Lewis could still win the championship, for example. So it's, I don't know, I don't know if these guys have got it in them to think like that. I'm not sure Bottas is sitting there going, right, I'm going to do everything I can to ruin this race and let Max go through and win. And I don't know. I find that hard to believe, because I think races are always trying. You know, I think a better example would be Bottas to win the race, to go, there you go, I can win a race, I can get on pole, you know, I can do what I want to do. Obviously, it didn't work out like that because he got punted off. But I don't know. I'm a bit skeptical on the whole, did he leave him? I think he left him enough room, but did he leave him too much room? Either he's, you know, it's a never answering question, isn't it, really? Because unless Bottas says, yeah, yeah, I let him through and I had a great time doing it. Unless he comes out and says that, we're never going to know, are we?
I thought Verstappen's overtake on the two Mercedes at the start of that race, I think that's going to be season defining. And Jenson Button said exactly the same thing. He said that could be it. You know, that move past those two Mercedes after a poor qualifying could be the defining moment of the season. 19 points ahead he is now as we head to Brazil this weekend. And it's interesting, you know, Red Bull have always been very strong at Mexico because the Honda engine seems to do well in thin air. And Brazil is above sea level, not as much as Mexico, but it is. And I would expect Red Bull to be firing on all cylinders when we go there. Let's talk about some of the other teams, though, from the Mexican Grand Prix. A bit of a damp squib for McLaren, wasn't it? Not a great qualifying from both their drivers, and a solitary world championship point for Lando Norris at the end of the race. They're up against Ferrari and the constructors. Ferrari are just ahead now. And it, you know, it's not looking great for McLaren if they want to get that third place off the Scuderia. But Ferrari seem to have got some consistency in the latter part of the season.
Yeah, and it's fascinating. Those two teams, I know we've mentioned this before, but they're both what I call switch teams at the moment, where they're either on or off. It's literally, there's, you know, they turn up at the circuit and they're either like, oh, they're looking handy, they're looking good, or they're just nowhere. There's no in between. I can't think of very many circuits, if any, where they've been what I would call average. They've either been superb or dreadful. And yeah, McLaren struggled this weekend, Ferrari struggled this weekend, but they're so evenly matched, those two teams. And you can see that with the constructors. Like you say, there's hardly anything in it, a few points in it now. But that is worth probably $10 to $20 million in prize money to go third to fourth. So, you know, both those teams are going to be doing everything they can to get that third place. And, you know, for McLaren to finish third would be amazing for them. That would be a real kind of climb back up from where they were a few years ago. If you remember, they were right at the bottom a couple of years back. And also for Ferrari not to be third is a huge thing, because they're obviously the biggest team. They've been in it the longest. They've got huge amounts of staff. They're desperate for third at least. I mean, the top two positions are definitely going to be Red Bull and Mercedes. We're just not sure which way around yet.
It looks like Sergio Perez has finally got to grips with the Red Bull car after a season of struggles. We've seen him perform well in certain races, but it looked to me in Mexico that he was right up there with Max, similar lap times. And obviously in the race, we know that he's good on his tyres during race trim. We know that he makes them last. And I was just a bit disappointed that he couldn't get past Hamilton in the closing stages of the race on Sunday. But, you know, he became the first Mexican to be on a Formula One podium at the home race. And, of course, the atmosphere of that circuit and the crowd and the jubilation that they shared with Sergio Perez was just amazing.
Yeah, it's so good when you see a country that doesn't often get a Formula One driver, you know, that can drive that far up the grid to see them doing so well. The crowd just lap it up. They love it, don't they? And I've got so much time for Sergio. I think he's such a nice guy and such a nice driver, and so lovely to see him hugging his dad at the end and his little boy with him on the podium. And it was such a nice thing, and I'm chuffed for him. And like you say, I'm gutted he couldn't. It would have been lovely to see him win it. Obviously, if he'd have got second, it would have been great as well, but just brilliant to see him on the podium. And, you know, that'll be a career and a life-changing moment for him, where he'll be like, you know, my home Grand Prix on the podium in front of the home Mexicans. And they just, you know, you could just tell he was very emotional, and it was a very nice moment. And his dad, you know, when his dad was hugging him, it was just such a lovely moment, isn't it? Because his dad was absolutely chuffed to bits, wasn't he?
And Christian Horner said after the race, he said he thinks it's the best atmosphere that they've ever had in the Red Bull team, certainly surrounding the two drivers. He said they get on like a house on fire. They're really good friends on and off the track. They help each other. Sergio knows exactly what his role is, which is brilliant, because it often, you know, the number two driver is striving to become the number one driver, and you get some bad blood occasionally. But Sergio knows exactly what he's there for. He's now starting to perform, and Christian Horner says that the atmosphere in the team is fantastic. Alpine and Aston Martin didn't have a great race in Mexico. A couple of incidents, certainly with Fernando Alonso when he was right in, on top of Bottas after the spin and had to take evading action. And after the race, Sebastian Vettel said, listen, you know what? I'm not really here to race in the midfield. And that was my first indication of Vettel going, you know what? The performance is just not there. If it doesn't improve next year with the rule changes, I think we could see him retiring from Formula One.
Yeah, and it is that inevitable question, isn't it? Because I think a lot of these racing drivers are the same. I think if they're not fighting at the front, all of a sudden, you know, they're kind of like, well, is there much point in me being here? You get the likes of Alonso that returned to the sport at his age. You know, he's over 40 now. He's in the twilight of his career, without a doubt. Even though you would never know it, he drives like an absolute machine, and he's such a good all-round driver, Alonso. I think he could go for easy another 5 years, really, but... you know, he's so good at what he does. But again, does an Alonso want to be at the back and in the midfield at the best kind of result? And he's kind of always floundering around the back at the moment. And I think he's struggling with that as well. And I think a lot of these drivers all kind of sat waiting for these rule changes, wait to see what happens next year, wait to see which cars perform the best. We're without a doubt going to get some kind of mix up. You would assume that Ferrari, McLaren, Red Bull, and Mercedes are all going to be relatively close to the front, but who knows what's going to happen to the teams behind, you know, Alfa Romeo, Williams. You know, these rule changes could turn these teams completely around. For all we know, we could have Williams, you know, qualifying 1 and 2 on the first race of 2022 and everyone going, what the hell, what's happened here? You know, so anything could happen with these rule changes. And I think all the drivers are kind of waiting for that to see where, you know, where they should go for maybe 2023 or whether there's any point in retiring or staying with the sport. I think it's going to be interesting next year, really.
Yeah, I think Alonso came back because obviously the rule changes were supposed to come in place this year, but they were delayed because of the corona problems. So obviously he's definitely sticking around for those rule changes. If he doesn't get results next year, I think you're going to see an announcement of a retirement. And it looks like Sebastian Vettel's going to go the same way. We're going to preview the Brazilian Grand Prix in just a minute. First, though, let's get some stats and facts from Nicky at Lights Out. You can follow his blog across race weekends and in between fixtures by following him on Twitter. All the facts and stats are amazing. Here he is with everything that happened in Mexico and a few little pointers to what we can expect from Brazil this coming weekend.
Verstappen sets a new record of most Mexico wins, Perez gets his first home podium, and Ricciardo nears an impressive milestone. Here are the top stats from the 2021 Mexico City Grand Prix weekend. And we start with Saturday, when Valtteri Bottas became the 10th consecutive different pole sitter at the Mexican Grand Prix. He went on to finish only 15th in the race, which is the worst ever result for a pole sitter who has not retired from the Grand Prix. The previous worst result for a pole sitter was 14th, recorded by Nico Rosberg at the 2014 Abu Dhabi Grand Prix. This was only the third time that the Mexican Grand Prix pole sitter has failed to finish in the top six at the event. The other times it has happened were in 1965 and 2018, when Jim Clark and Daniel Ricciardo retired from the race. Clark also retired, having started from pole in 1964, but he was classified in fifth place. Next up, for the 17th time in Formula 1, a driver has won 9 races in a single season. Max Verstappen won in Mexico, recording the 19th victory of his career. Verstappen recorded his third win at the Mexican Grand Prix, setting a new record for most wins at the event in its World Championship history. On his way to victory, Verstappen surpassed Jim Clark's 53-year-old record of most laps led in Mexico. Home hero Sergio Perez next, who didn't disappoint the partisan crowd. Perez became the first Mexican driver to finish on the podium at their home Grand Prix. He also led 6 laps of the race, becoming the first Mexican driver to lead on home soil. This was the 3rd consecutive race in which Perez has finished on the podium. It's the first time he's recorded 3 successive podium results in his Formula 1 career. In a rare occurrence, the podium in Mexico was identical to the last podium in the United States. This was only the 13th time that 2 consecutive races have had identical podiums. Should Verstappen win with Hamilton second and Perez third again in Brazil, it would be the first time in F1 history that 3 successive races have had exactly the same podium result. For Perez, he can equal the record of most consecutive third-place finishes. Only Heinz-Harald Frentzen and Mark Webber have previously finished third at four races in a row. And finally, looking ahead to next weekend, where Daniel Ricciardo should overtake Nico Rosberg's tally of Grand Prix starts. With his 207th start, Ricciardo will move to 17th in the all-time list of most F1 appearances. More impressively, he started all 207 of those races consecutively. He's not missed a single race since his debut at the 2011 British Grand Prix. After the Brazilian Grand Prix, only Lewis Hamilton will have made more starts consecutively than Ricciardo. Hamilton started 265 races in a row between the 2007 Australian Grand Prix and the 2020 Bahrain Grand Prix.
Amazing as always. More stats and facts. You can follow him across all the race weekends at Lights Out is where you can find him on Twitter. Thank you very much to Nikki. Some interesting stuff there. You forget how experienced drivers like Ricciardo are, don't you? When you hear stats like that, you're like, you know, he's right up there on the list. And this weekend, of course, we have a couple of races back to back. So this weekend, we're going straight into Brazil. It's a nice little start time as well. The qualifying is going to be, I think they're on air about 5. Qualifying starts about 6 p.m. our time. Grand Prix itself, the build-up starts on Sky at 3:30 and the race itself starts at 5 p.m. our time on Sunday. So a lovely little start time to the Grand Prix. And I like the Brazilian track. It's always been a track where there's been quite a lot of excitement. They've had quite a few of the end-of-season races in Brazil in the past. Of course, Hamilton won his title here in dramatic style as well. And like you said earlier, it's high up, it's elevated, not as much as Mexico, but there is less air. So the Red Bulls should perform very, very well here as well.
Yeah, we've seen the Red Bull in the last few years do well at the Brazilian circuit. So it's going to be interesting to see how Mercedes can bring that fight back to them. Because towards the end of the season, it's not like Mercedes can suddenly manufacture a new part for the car with, you know, 7 days between races. I mean, it's just impossible. So they're basically going to Brazil with what they had in Mexico, effectively. They can make wing changes, of course. I thought what was interesting in Mexico, which really made me think that Mercedes were on the back foot, was when they made a radio call to Hamilton and they said, Lewis, plan B plus 6 on the radio, which made everyone, including myself, think, okay, so whatever plan B is, he's going to do 6 more laps on top of the allotted time. And then the following lap, they brought him in. It was a total bluff to try and throw Red Bull off the scent. And that made me think, oh, yeah, they're panicking here. They're on the back foot. They're trying some dirty tricks to try and get the most out of this race. And I think it will be the same in Brazil. I've had a look to the weather forecast. Saturday and Sunday, it's forecast to be sunny with decent weather. Temperatures are about 25, 26 degrees. So we're not going to have that random rainstorm that we often do in Brazil that really mixes things up, which is a pity, really, because we like the drama of that. But I do think, you know, it's going to be a battle between Red Bull and Mercedes on the Saturday, and then it's all about that opening lap. The turn, the rundown to turn one from the start is not as big by any means as Mexico was, so the toe doesn't play a massive role there. But of course, we've seen some pretty impressive collisions as they go down the corkscrew into turn one and two at the start of the race. So it's going to be really interesting. And of course, with the points the way they are, you know, is Lewis going to take a lunge down the inside and try and take out Max Verstappen? Is Verstappen going to play it safe, or is he going to play it aggressive into that first turn? That's the crucial thing for me.
Yeah, and of course, if my maths calculations are correct, so there's 107 points left remaining because we've got 25 points for the 4 wins, plus the 1 point for the fastest lap, if you get that as well, plus there's still a sprint race to come, which is a maximum of 3 points. So there should be a maximum, if my maths is correct, of 107 points left. So when you think that Verstappen's only 19 ahead, sounds a lot with 4 races to go, but there's 107 left. So anything could happen. If one of these drivers takes each other out, or if somebody has an issue with their engine or a reliability problem, anything can happen and it could blow this completely wide open once again. And I do like the start of the Brazilian Grand Prix. Like you say, it's a nice wide track, but there always seems to be some sort of drama in those first couple of turns, doesn't there? So very exciting race ahead of us. I think the Red Bulls are going to be cracking this weekend. I can see Max Verstappen getting it on pole as a bit of a payback, because I think they did make a mistake. I think they should have been on pole this weekend, and yeah, there was a lot of mistakes there. Tsunoda got blamed for that, but it was kind of, I think that was, you know, it did put Perez off. You could see that, but I don't know if it put Max off that much. And anyway, that's another issue. But I can see them getting on pole this weekend. And I think Sergio's going to be right up there. You know, I think Sergio's learnt to drive that car very much like Max does. He's advanced his driving style to drive like Max. which has made him a better driver. He even admitted that himself because he's changed his style a bit. But it's fascinating because he's well up there now, isn't he? And I can see him and Max being right up there in you know, pole and maybe second or third. And I think it's going to be another cracking race.
I think, you know, most of the pundits think that the momentum is with Red Bull and Max Verstappen to win the championship. But you're right. You know, if Max puts it in the wall on the first lap and Hamilton wins the race and gets fastest lap, 26 points versus 0 points, Hamilton suddenly goes into Qatar and the Saudi races with a fairly decent lead in the Drivers' Championship. So anything, you know, anything and everything could happen at the Brazilian Grand Prix. I was quite impressed and amused with Nikita Mazepin, who was complaining on the radio about the Haas team's strategy in Mexico. And after the race, Gunther Steiner went over to him and said, "Don't be a strategist, just listen and drive the car." So there's no love lost between those two as we get towards the back end of the season. There's still lots of decisions to be made, of course. We're seeing that battle between Ferrari and McLaren as we go into Brazil. McLaren, I think, more confident on the Brazilian circuit of their performance. So that'll be interesting to see from Friday practice onwards. And we await to see what the outcome is. But I think you're right. I think that lap one in Brazil could be very, very defining for the final three races of the season.
Yeah, will we see another champions drive from Verstappen? Or will Hamilton do a champions drive himself? It's between those two, as we well know by now. And, you know, both of them have elevated their game so much this season, and it's a pleasure to watch. And I think, like you say, out of the two, Hamilton seems the one that's most rattled, and it's fascinating to watch. Verstappen 25 now, and look how good he is already. I mean, give him another 10 years when he peaks, and he's going to be absolutely tremendous as a driver.
Yeah, he certainly is. And of course, we've got the likes of Lando Norris and George Russell coming through the ranks. The rule changes next year could really mix that up for us. It's going to just get better and better and better, I think, I hope. And I know that you'll be watching the Brazilian Grand Prix this weekend with your eyes wide open, ready for any action or drama that may occur. We'll be back next week at around this time to review all the action from Brazil and then preview yet another race, because we're on a triple header at the moment. And it doesn't get much more exciting than this in the world of Formula One. Take care, and we'll speak to you next week.
Follow Two Soft Compounds on Twitter and Facebook. Search for Two Soft Compounds. Two Soft Compounds is a talk about media production. All opinions are our own.